Ticks are the only things that seem to like this place. They're everywhere. During the evenings, I could see massive clouds of the bastards flitting across the matted surface, making the flesh of the dog's gape quiver as they drink their fill. Sometimes candid legs of various size and deformity burst through the surface to scratch at them. It doesn't work. All the dogscape gains are vast stretches of scar marks, which the fleas feed upon. Sometimes I rest on the side of a large outgrowth and only realize it's a monstrous tick. They latch onto one of the deep arteries of the dog flesh and endlessly leech of the New World's lifeblood. I saw a man once. It was hot that day. I was making my way from a dog pillar and saw him in the distance. He wasn't moving, and as I approached, I saw why. He was covered in ticks. Not a single spot on him was clear. What little clothes remained on him was stretched over the fuckers. There was no wind, so all you heard was the faint scuttling of their tiny legs scratching against his ludicrously swelled bodies. He must have heard me, because he opened his mouth and tried to say something. His voice was raspy. His mouth was red, but he did manage to say one word. Itch. Itch. While archaic, tribal worship of the dog mother in all its visible and fleshy glory is the most common form of religion in the barbaric dogscape, there does exist another mythology, one practiced only in distant, isolated pockets and by a few of the older survivors. The exact details change from tribe to tribe, year to year, but the basics never change. It is the legend of the beginning of the dogscape. The genesis of the world we know. It tells of a time when humans were plentiful and walked upon the ground that wasn't alive. There was a god, or a demon, perhaps, a dog that lived amongst the humans and was even accepted and provided for by a human family. But it was no ordinary dog. This beast lived for over 50 years. While canines of that time rarely lasted more than a decade. It was greatly powerful, more in control of its owner family than they were of it. They say it went out at night and hunted human prey, bringing back large collections of bones as trophy to his home. But the humans tried to ignore it, convinced themselves that it wasn't a problem. Soon, as the origin dog reached a century of age, it became increasingly powerful and unlike the others. More strange disappearances and even attacks during the day. Vehicles were found with deep bite marks through metal and homes were burrowed into from below. The government of the time, many times more powerful than any chieftain of today, captured the hellhound. They performed experiments. They tried to understand where it channeled its energy from. Progress was good. It looked as though even the secret to immortality could be gained from this dog. Accidents occur. The betrayer, as they call her, worked at the government facility, felt sympathy for the god dog. She released him. And concurrently, all consuming hell that is the dogscape. The enraged beast no longer held any sympathy for humanity as it thrashed recklessly through the lab. Mutated samples adhered to its flesh, growing like a cancer, and soon what would become dogscape was spreading like wildfire. Its maw gnashing at everything that moved, its hide spread over soil, stone, and sea. What is the name of this horrible beast? It varies, but they all come from a similar etymological origin. I believe it's taken down names from all over the world. Armand. Miarm. Aduk. And yet the dog mother is most certainly feminine. Well, it is said that the betrayer was, in fact, the first human assimilated into the dogscape. It's cold here. Jets of moist breath dot the landscape amidst undulating hills. And no proper dog trees, only short piles of huddling dog limbs. Teats are few and far between, and when I find one, I must work to coax the milk to a skin bladder. I move across the hills, my feet numb through the shoes that I've fashioned. I move in the direction that seems easiest and subtle, and mangy slopes that I only just noticed are guiding my path in a general downhill fashion. Where there's fur, it's thick and rancid with matted oil. I don't know why the mother does what it does. But all of her fruits have their uses. I hack at a fur clump, separating it from the flesh below. It's only a little blood from a grazed skin tag. Fold and shape the waxy fur onto the insulating hairy covering on my body. The dog flesh rumbles beneath me in a more than disconcerting way. It's been doing that for the past several weeks. More so the further I've traveled. It's getting colder. I can hear only the wind now, tearing across the mother. The howls, warbling and mournful, have stopped. The sharp barks and yips no longer form a background cacophony. I huddle into my coverings and shoulder ahead. I have no path to follow but forward. The ground feels harder here. The gentle give of the dogland has ceased, giving way to a dull sound absorbing thud of matted fur. I slipped yesterday on what seemed to be a lake of solid piss. It was not reabsorbed into the dog mother. My own shivering seems to syncopate with the occasional rumbles of the mother. Her flesh no longer seems like a living being. But I know that deep within her, blood flows. It's so cold here. I continue forward every day. The ground slopes more, and I struggle to sleep in a forgiving skinfold. There's no purpose but to move forward now, one foot in front of the other. It's been dark for as long as I can remember. How long will this night last? Air's dry. Land is mostly featureless. And hard as I walk, the wind blows clumps of brittle hair across my face. They hurt. A soft pop, a subtle blue flash, and then they blow past me. My hands are deep within my coverings and numb. And if I expose them to ward off the shocks, and the cold will take them from me. I've already lost 3 toes. I can no longer feel that foot. I no longer bother to light fires in the deep crooks where I sleep. The last I saw of that foot, it was black and swollen. It felt like it was burning. My travel is slow. I've heard soft, subtle tapping sounds, but when I investigate, I find only dog claws moving across the ground. The rumbles have continued, and with them now come subtle, rending sounds like a mouth chewing on a bone. When the sounds intensify, I move faster. I don't know what causes them, but I do not think it's the mother. I have not found any teats in a long time. I am thirsty, and my skin bladder is almost empty. I would kill my own parents for a fresh puppy fetus. Past a small pile of humans almost buried in billowing dried fur, they were dead and desiccated. They looked like they were strong when they lived. I kept moving. There's only the road ahead of me. I do not know what it leads to. The ground shifted beneath my feet, and I pissed in fear. Not a mouth, but a great, hard chasm of flesh and bone had torn open beneath me. A striking human burst of air bellowed below, and then hung in a cold cloud around me. On my ass, I peered into the gloomy hole. It nearly swallowed me. It was now still. I sat and contemplated it, breathing heavily, and thought of my previous skin bladders. Slowly I could hear sounds several dozen feet below me start to play and echo in the cleft. A soft slapping and a gurgle. I don't know how, but I knew that this was my chance for sustenance. I slid into the meat maw. I climbed down a shone slab of giant rib, still red and moist, and finally landed on the streaming dark floor of the hole. It writhed beneath my feet. I felt around, not knowing what I was looking for, and my hand fell upon a thumping tube set into the meat wall, an artery. I grabbed it, I pulled at connecting flesh, and then I bit at it. The blood shot out in spurts, and I drank my fill. I was covered in viscera. I struggled to fill my skin bladder. The cleft shuddered around me, and I knew that I must leave it immediately. The walls were starting to hang tendrils of meat, feelers, to heal the damaged canyon. I exhausted myself, and I climbed out and nearly fell back in as I crested the edge of the crack and into the cold night. The dog flesh slowly mended behind me as I panted on the hard ground before I felt it. I considered it, and I cataloged it, a stretch mark. The mother was growing. I'm so weak. And it is so cold. My filled bladders of blood and gore and the gray dogscape stretch before me. I must make it to my goal, but I don't know what my goal is. I've walked for what seems like months in the darkness. I climb down a huge mass of frigid dog flesh. It's like a great heap of small dogs, a pile of dog heads and legs, a mound of tails and torso. It's cold and lifeless. A slow, low creaking can be heard deep within it. I grip an ear and lower myself to the bottom of the wall of dogs, and my foot lands on something else. I gasp. Then, just caught in a fit of coughing, I don't know what I'm standing on, but it's not the mother. I feel queasy. I feel nauseous. What could possibly be not the mother? It's frigid and hard, but I scrape at it with the bits of dangery coldness come up from it. I hold them close to my face, and my breath turns the stuff of water. I try to eat a handful of it, but it's so cold that it robs me of almost all of my remaining energy. The moisture trickles down my throat. It's good. I look behind me at the dog wall, with its exposed frozen bones and happy-looking faces. Then ahead of me at the featureless dark, I'm too far gone to look back now. I continue walking for hours, then I sleep. Then I walk more, and my footsteps are leaden. Finally, ahead of me, I see light. I make my way towards it slowly over the course of several hours. It's a beacon to me now, a bright, glowing, steady fire. As I approach it, I see the guiding light stands on a pole before a series of low, dark structures. Like solid walls of bone, but not. They're not dog flesh. The billowing hair and cold, bandry water piles against the sides. I know that this is what I was destined for. At one end, near the light, is a dark panel set into the wall. On it are markings placed there by some person's hand, but I don't know what they say. AIS-1. ENTRANCE. I shoulder against the panel, but it barely shudders. I try again and again, and I'm renewed with a purpose by the discovery of this place, but I am weak from my travel. I lean back on the panel and slide it. Exhausted, my back catches against a low bar set into the panel. It pushes down, and then it clicks, and the panel gave way, and I fall into the darkness within. I am in a small, dark cave. It is alien to me. The wind blows debris and fur into the room with me. I look around. Strange, dark masses seem to leer at me, their soft, white skin hanging on the walls, and more of the unusual markings everywhere. P-R-O-C... Procedure list. Keep closed. Warning. Wear radio at all times. A bright red cylinder with yellow stripes is inside a small box. I reach for it, but my hands scramble against a clear covering across the entrance to the box. I look at my hands now, they're purple. I cannot feel them anymore. Another panel is on the opposite wall, like the one I had opened. I move towards it feebly, I'm cold. I pull on the handle set into the panel, but it does not move. A small red light flashes above it. I pull harder, but it does not move. I pull again, jumping, but lose my balance. I lurch to the ground. I smack my head with a dull thud. The cold is blowing in fiercely from the opening behind me. I scrape against the hard panel, but it does not move. More marking. Adorn it. Close outer door first. I do not understand them. I sit against the panel. My vision is blurry, and a trickle of my own blood seeps across my eye. I go to sleep there, leaning against the dark doorway. I sleep, and I do not wake up. I turn the next leathered page, but there is not another entry. I set the journal onto the ground, unsure of how exactly the Bandit King had come about it. The man, entering into his tent, shakes the last of the fleas from his body. He takes the gun. One mysterious item that he's always had on his person, and he places it back within the bag that he keeps in the corner, the one that rests against the dog's cape. I've had weeks, maybe more, to study that bag, and I finally understand how an item from the old world, an item like a gun, can manage to survive that's not eaten. Swallowed whole by the dog mother. The flesh of that bag. The flesh of that bag is not dog. It's the same kind of flesh that I have on my body.